Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thank you for spending some of your precious time with me so that I'm not sitting here by myself, which would be really silly. My guest tonight is Richard Gordon, who is the creator of a healing method called Quantum Touch, which I've been hearing about for years. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing all of it from the guy who put it all together. So he will be with us in just a minute. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And once again, we have many things going on simultaneously that are certainly affecting how my body feels, and maybe you're noticing the same kinds of things. It's a new moon, and the moon is always affecting us because in the same way that it moves the tides, we're 80% water, and it affects us. And for people in the southern hemisphere, there was a solar eclipse today. And again, whether you can see the eclipse where you are or not, those events are very powerful and affect all of us. And just for good measure, we've got solar wind, coronal mass ejection, which is a big solar flare, and a geomagnetic storm in Canada. So there is all kinds of stuff going on that can make sensitive people feel tired, achy, dehydrated, all kinds of stuff. In addition, there's been, and you know, there's always chaos going on in the world, but in the United States, we had our own special brand of chaos. This last couple of days with another major school shooting. And you know, people get upset about it in different ways, but there's a phenomenon that you may or may not have heard about, which explains why we feel all of it. Many years ago, physics departments all over the planet at big universities started to keep one computer that was a random number generator. It would just generate zeros and ones in a random way. And what they were looking for was whether the randomness was affected by events that happened on the planet. So major events that got a lot of attention and created a lot of emotion would have the most effect on the randomness of these numbers. And this is our emotions affecting a machine that has no emotions. Why would it do that? So there were many large traumatic events, including some silly ones like the O.J. Simpson chase, Princess Diana's death. There were all kinds of events that got lots and lots of people focused and emotional, and it would always change the way that the numbers were coming out of these computers. And this is part of what's called quantum entanglement, that everything is connected, and you do something over here and something over there has, and it's not an equal and opposite reaction, but it has a reaction. So we had another one of these events where children were killed. And for me, especially as a father of a young woman who's in college now, it certainly pulled on me. But the other thing is, part of my work is when events like that happen, to go and find the people who have just died, because sudden death usually leaves someone completely confused and not knowing what happened. They don't cross over. And gathering them up and helping them cross over so they're not stuck here. And sometimes, you know, I've done that with battlefields. I've done that with all kinds of things where there are people where it doesn't feel all that emotional. I feel like I can just provide that service and get them unstuck. But when it's 14-year-old kids and the people that were protecting them, it was pretty emotional. So it was a difficult day for me today doing something that's normally just another one of the things that I do in the course of a day of doing healings. But I think for everybody in the United States, there was an effect. And the truth is, there should be. We shouldn't have those things going on and not be affected by them. So without getting into the politics, it was a very sad day. So if you've been feeling cranky, or your body's been cranky, or you're a little bit, as we used to say, out of sorts, there are reasons for it. So it's always nice to know the reasons, because then you don't feel like you're getting sick and you don't feel like you're going crazy. So here we are again with a convergence of many different things that all happen at the same time and all affect the way we feel in our bodies. And I wish you peace and some way to have all that stuff settle quickly. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And let's have some fun with my guest, Richard Gordon, the founder of Quantum Touch. Hey, Richard, thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, David, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing more about the whole process, how you came to develop it and all of it. A friend of mine was trained in Quantum Touch, and so I've heard the stories, you know, all the dramatic stories about Quantum Touch, and also his experience in working on people. So how did your life unfold that you came up with this, and then what was the process of figuring it out?
Well, there's been so many breakthroughs over the last 40 plus years. It's quite a journey. Back when I was about 24, I noticed my health was getting worse and worse. So I went to a doctor and he said, yeah, you got a lot of problems, skin problems, lung problems, gastric problems, blah, blah, blah. He said, let's wait till you get worse. Nothing's bad enough to treat yet. I thought, well, that's probably the worst advice I'll ever receive. So I went to a holistic health school. I studied everything. I came across polarity therapy at the time. I was astounded at how well it worked. I eventually wrote a book on polarity therapy that came out in 1978 that was the bestseller throughout the 1980s. It was called Your Healing Hands. But a few months before the book was in print, in the summer of 1978, that's 40 years ago, I met a gentleman named Robert Rasmussen. And this large grandpa was blasé, telling tall tales, and I couldn't believe anything he was saying. He was talking about the time the child broke his leg and he was walking again, you know, a couple hours later and stuff like that. And I'm, it was a break where the bone was sticking out of the flesh. I mean, crazy stories, tumors the size of a grapefruit that dissolved in an hour. And I decided, I'm not going to believe anything this guy says. That's just it. But then he said, oh, I just touch people and the bones glide back to alignment. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, right. Well, my girlfriend gets up to the front of the room. She has a major scoliosis. We're all looking at her spine and he just touches her hips. And as if they just were on an axis, they just rolled right back into alignment within a second or two. And then he touched the cranial bones and they just slid back in. They went up and down her spine and about half her scoliosis was straightened out in about 6 or 8 minutes. My jaw was on the floor. I assumed he had a rare gift and no one was going to learn it, and certainly not me. But by the end of the day, I saw that I could cause these structural alignments. And I apprenticed with him. I took over in his retirement. And now I named it. I took the woo out of it. I streamlined it. I turned the whole course upside down. I evolved the work radically. And we call it Quantum Touch now. Now, 99% of the people interested in Quantum Touch want to see the pain, the inflammation, and the emotional imbalances be addressed. Mm-hmm. I happen to have another interest in it, and that is exploring the intersection of matter and consciousness. We can talk about that later. But the main thing is This is a way to accelerate healing. And we'd like to understand clearly that the definition of a healer is someone who was sick and got well. A great healer was very sick and got well quickly. You don't actually heal other people. What we do is we shift our vibration, our resonance, create a field, and let the other person match your vibration, and then their own body and spiritual intelligence does the healing. So that's the short of it.
So tell me more about the method. I mean, obviously there have been healers all over the world that can do extraordinary things. One of my teachers was trained in the Philippines by psychic surgeons. So I've heard some amazing stories from that tradition. Yeah. But this is not, and the way you're describing it, this is not an exotic tradition, and that this is not an apprenticeship in a tradition somewhere in an exotic place in the world. This is something that anyone can learn.
Yeah, it's quite the opposite. Everybody picks it up immediately. When I was on the way it works is we teach people how to feel their body without touching it. So, for instance, if you hold your finger up, you can put your awareness in your finger, and you can feel the blood pulsing through your finger and the muscles. I mean, the tendons and ligaments in the finger. You might be able to feel the bones inside your finger. And if you really pay attention, you can feel how your skin wraps around your finger and how the fingernail attaches. Maybe feel underneath the fingernail. Maybe even imagine you're stroking your finger with a feather. And feel that you can feel the part of your finger where you're imagining you're touching your finger with a feather. Well, all this is a way of bringing your awareness to one part of your body while you're breathing through that area. That's what we do with the entire body. And we bring body awareness in waves through the body. And we link it to breathing patterns. And that's the simplicity of quantum touch, is there's no woo. There's no magical symbols or attunements or special beads you need to wear or magic smoke or something. It's just body awareness and breathing to raise your vibration. And the idea is very simple. If you can hold a high enough vibration, the other person will simply come up to match your vibration through a process of resonance and entrainment. Mm-hmm. If an untrained person does hands-on healing, they may from time to time feel diminished or depleted as a result of the session because they are matching their energy to the person they're working on. And you often hear this from massage practitioners, even dentists. Anybody making a lot of physical contact with somebody who isn't feeling well, if you're not holding at least a vibration of gratitude or love or appreciation, you are in danger of matching the energy of the person you're working on. And I was just reading that dentists have an extraordinarily high suicide rate. And I would imagine it's because nobody wants to see you. You know, nobody's coming in and saying, oh, I'm so glad you're here. You're the wedding singer. No, wait a second. You're the dentist. That's what it is. So they're not really coming to have a good time.
I like that image of the dentist as the wedding singer.
Yeah, it's a juxtaposition there. It's like, actually, there was a time in my life where I had one friend who was a dentist and one who was a wedding singer. And the dentist was like really working hard to maintain a positive attitude about life. And the wedding singer was just floating on air because everywhere he went, people were in love and they're happy and they're greeting him. And he was like the most appreciated person in the world. And the dentist was having to struggle to get through another week.
Yeah. I never liked my orthodontist. And that was a very long time ago.
I wonder why.
Well, I could tell you, but kind of off the subject.
Exactly.
So where, so the idea is to get control of and raise your vibration in such a way that you have something to offer this person whose vibration is very low and causing them pain.
If you continually raise your vibration throughout the session and you're creating a field, the other person simply has to keep matching your vibration. So their body is going to entrain to your vibration, and then the body and spiritual intelligence use the energy to its best advantage. So in one of my classes, a woman was working on another woman's neck pain, but her hearing came back in her left ear. She hadn't heard since she was a teenager in that ear, and she was somewhere in her 40s. In another class, a woman was getting her sinuses worked on, and the next morning when she woke up, she couldn't read the clock. So she took her glasses off, and she could read it perfectly. The energy goes where it's needed and does what's needed, and it isn't always your conception about what the healing is. A lot of people with one condition find out that it's working on something else, or we also chase the sensation and chase pain during a session. So in one session, a woman who had migraine pain, the pain all went down to her neck during the session. So the practitioner moved her hands to the neck, and then all the pain moved over to the gallbladder and the liver. So she worked on the liver gallbladder, and then the migraine disappeared. Well, the acupuncturist in the room said, I know why some headaches are liver gallbladder headaches, and that may be true. An 11-year-old could have done the session without having to know the years of study that the acupuncture had come through, because we simply chase the pain or sensation through the body by lifting our energy and holding the field. And that's what the basis of quantum touch is about, accelerating healing. We recently completed a study, a peer-reviewed study published in a journal, Energy Psychology Journal, and what we saw was really fascinating. There were 41 patients in the study, all had very high levels of pain, mostly from fibromyalgia, arthritis, or accidents. But here's the interesting thing. It's not just that the average pain went down 67.4%, but of the 41 people, there were 50 pain conditions. So many people had more than one condition. Every single one of the pain conditions responded to quantum touch. Now, placebos are... A good placebo works about a third of the time, maybe even a little more, maybe 50% on a really good day. We had 100% of the conditions had some level of improvement. So one of the things I'd like to see is research showing how this could prevent opioid addiction. Because if you can bring pain down significantly, they won't need to take as many painkillers. We had a nurse years ago working in a hospital on post-surgical care patients. And the doctor said, you have to stop doing that quantum touch on our patients. And she said, why? He said, we can no longer predict how much pain medication to give them.
Right.
So selling pain medication and having high levels of predictability appeared to be a higher priority than the patient's well-being.
I don't know that it was totally that. They really wanted to get the appropriate amount of medication, but yeah.
Exactly.
One of my favorite things about dealing with doctors is they predict things based on what the average person will do if they don't add anything else to it. And I'm doing all kinds of other stuff and say, so, well, it's going to then, yeah, not for me.
Exactly. You don't let other people's limitations set what you can and can't do.
Right. And I've been doing various things and taking various things and all the rest of it, and they don't expect any of it. I always say about my doctor that he tolerates me well.
That's nice.
Yeah, you know, he'll recommend something, and I'll just go, Peter, you've known me for 20 years now. Am I going to do that? Like, nah.
Well, the doctors are just looking at averages and not extraordinary individuals.
Right. And like, no, you're not going to take that. Like, exactly. I know you have to tell me that, but you know, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
So. It's always fascinating when you find a physician who is also a healer and has a broader perspective and understands energy and can look at it from that perspective. And I wish I could find one, but I haven't had one in a long time.
It seems that the functional medicine doctors as a group would be my preference to work with, because at least they appreciate that the body heals itself and they're trying to do things that encourage your body's self-healing mechanism. So right. If anybody's looking for a physician, I really encourage you to look toward the functional medicine doctors.
They also have a broader perspective and are looking at different research.
Of course.
My experience with functional medicine had to do with a friend's husband was a psychiatrist, and he was looking at the literature on depression. And one of the things that came up was there is a genetic, a gene that can be broken that will cause symptoms that are like depression.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's doing is stopping the body from metabolizing folic acid correctly.
Oh, wow.
So if you take the right folic acid supplement, you don't have the problem. And it never was depression. It was a nutritional issue based on a genetic issue. And I was like, oh, look at that.
Yes, there are some people where that's the case.
Yeah, it was for me, and it was startling how easy it was for it wasn't even symptoms. I just felt better. I was like, oh, look at that. That's easy. So we're going to be going to a break in a little bit, and I want to be sure that people know where to find you. So how do people find you online?
QuantumTouch.com.
That's so easy and straightforward. And are there materials or programs that they should know about that they can plug into from the website?
Yeah, my books will teach people how to do the work. We have an online video workshop people can watch. We've got instructors teaching the work around the world. We have certified practitioners working in over 50 countries around the world. Books are in 17 languages. And I think our website's in 7 or 8 languages now. And the discoveries have gone into directions that I never would have imagined since 1978 that I talked about.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we can come back from the break, I would love to hear some of those surprising directions that things have gone.
Of course.
Always fascinating. So it sounds like the whole process has been a surprise to you too.
Yeah.
Which is always exciting. That's the stuff that's always juicy in my work. Most of my work is remote healing, and every once in a while something startling happens and I get a report from the client and it's like, really? I knew that could happen. It's happened once or twice, but look at that. So yeah, it's very exciting when things are, you get those surprises. So we are going to go to the break shortly, unless we get taller. My guest tonight is Richard Gordon, the creator and founder of Quantum Touch. And I am just having a wonderful time finding out more about it. So this is the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. And I'm David Franklin Farkas, and you're listening to Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We're going to have a whole lot more fun. We'll be right back.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Non-stop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
If a disaster struck right now, what would you and your family do first? Would you stay where you are or leave? What if you and your family were separated? Would your kids know what to do? How would you get in touch with them if your cell phone isn't working or the subways aren't running? Don't wait until a disaster strikes to figure it out. It's your responsibility to make a plan for you and your family ahead of time. To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. In this online tool, you'll be faced with real-life challenges forcing you to make quick decisions at every turn to teach you the importance of being prepared for a disaster. Without a plan, it's like you're putting your family in a disaster. Visit nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. A public service announcement brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source
this
of
is
power
the sound of
you
equal
can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her...
And it looks like...
Be the change you want to see in the world. This is Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Richard Gordon, the creator and founder of Quantum Touch. So you were starting to tell us some stories about how things have... changed and gone in various directions that you really didn't expect.
Well, that's what happens in life when you study something long enough. You see details that you hadn't anticipated, and it changes everything. About 10, 12 years ago now, I made a discovery that, well, let me just back up a little bit. That very first thing that Bob Rasmussen showed me was really fascinating, because when somebody has their hips twisted, or even the cranial bones, the base of the skull, the occiput, at a big angle, so if you lift up, one side is much higher than the other, I found out that by meditating and doing the body awareness exercise, I could cause them to spontaneously move. We've nicknamed it spontaneous postural alignment, SPA. And like I said, most people aren't interested in that, but it fascinates me because what it means. About 10, 12 years ago, I discovered that I could do it without touching people. Mm-hmm. Until then, I always put my hands on there and did the breathing and body awareness. I could just put imaginary hands on the person and cause the same thing to occur at a distance. And that was a big breakthrough. But then the craziest breakthrough happened a little over 2 years ago. It was Thanksgiving, and my friend Daniel said that if you watch a movie of yourself doing a healing session, people watching the movie may receive some healing. And I thought, well, that's a really difficult, it's very hard for me to believe that to begin with. And beyond that, I wouldn't know how to test it, because, you know, somebody might say their headache went away, but they could be nice, and I don't know whether to trust them or not, you know. And it's very hard to find enough people that I could be confident of results. So what I did instead was I decided I would try to align people by showing them a movie of myself meditating. and it worked immediately. Because if somebody's hip is 2 inches high on one side, it's completely obvious. It's like, is the golf ball on the green or is it in the hole? There's no ambiguity on the subject. It's a yes or no type of answer. And once I saw that I could do that, then one day I was sitting in a coffee shop musing this over this whole phenomenon. And I played golf in the morning, was wearing the same sweater. And I thought, you know, I wonder what would, I reached in my pocket, there was a golf tee. I thought, what would happen if I meditate on the golf tee and give it the energy information of aligning the hips and occiput simultaneously? And I did that. When I handed it to somebody, it caused them to be aligned at once.
Wow.
And then I discovered that glass, plastic, rubber, paper, cigarette butts, cockroaches, leaves, water, whatever material I meditated on, it was, they were all able to hold the energy and intention equally well. Didn't have to be my magic crystal or my stardust or something or my blessed water. Everything was doing it, as if to say that all matter is made of God stuff. It's all made of something that holds consciousness and intention. And that discovery led to another discovery that is equally amazing. It happened, I ran, in my latest book, The Secret Nature of Matter, I ran 58 experiments to explore the intersection of matter and consciousness. And I kept making discoveries and then testing them in lots of different ways. And I journaled them all. So they're all there in the book. And many people have actually repeated these experiments successfully and were able to show the same things. For example, what would happen if I boil water that I had previously meditated on? Would the water still hold the energy and intention when it cooled? The answer was yes, it did. But what about the water that had evaporated on the lid of the pot? Would that hold the energy and intention? No, it didn't. So the incense would hold the energy, but the smoke didn't, or the ashes didn't. So a change of state was often necessary to remove it. And I did lots of experiments to see how I could get rid of an energy intention in an object. And smashing metal with a hammer didn't change it. Freezing, boiling didn't change it. Incense smoke, burying it, grounding it in earth didn't change it. So many different popular ideas of what removed energy and intention didn't work at all. Meditating on it to try to get it to lose the information that I put in it didn't change it. The only thing that seemed to really shift it was a total change in state. Well, then a big discovery hit. And the big discovery was as a result of a failed experiment. There was a woman whose hips were massively out of alignment. I laid out a dozen pennies behind her on a long table. The pennies were 3 to 4 inches apart from each other. And then I meditated on a penny that was right behind her. Let's call that penny number one. Mm-hmm. And immediately measured her to see if she was still out of alignment. And she was. She was still very much out of alignment. I then reached down, picked up penny 12 that was about 4 feet away, and handed it to her. And she was immediately aligned. And I got very upset. No, it's not supposed to work this way. Why is this happening? I was complaining out loud to myself. And my first thought was, well, maybe it spreads like fire spreads, you know, with gasoline. And I thought, no, that can't be true, because then the table would be charged, the walls, the floors, the windows, everybody in the coffee shop, everybody on the planet, and so forth. That obviously had not happened. Therefore, I came up with a new theory that's much more exciting. And that is what I've come to call conscious entanglement. When I laid out the 12 pennies, I had joined them all together as a group in my mind for the experiment. I'm going to put 12 pennies down here. These were pennies I had no previous contact with. They weren't my friends, so to speak. I just laid 12 pennies down, but because I had joined them all together, they were joined together. And anything I do to one happens to them all. So the next day, I was at a conference. There were two women who had a major misalignment each. And so I borrowed a small handful of change because I wanted some objects that I had never looked at before. And I just stared at them for a few seconds. And my thought process was, I see all the coins in my hand. They're all here. I see them all. And that was it. And then I put them on a table. I wasn't trying to give them any kind of a charge. And I handed each one of the coins to each of the women. And then I reached in my pocket, pulled out a coin I had previously meditated on, tapped one of the coins on the table, and both women were immediately aligned. Then I ran the experiment backwards the next day, which a woman in a cafe, she put a change on the table, picked up a coin, I tapped the coin on the table. Nothing happened to her because we hadn't joined her with the coins on the table. The coins on the table were not entangled or joined together. And so this conscious entanglement shows us that objects can be joined together in consciousness, and anything you do to any one of these objects will happen to them all. So the implications of the discoveries in my latest book are deeply paradigm changing, because most of the people who graduate from universities in with any kind of science education, as Rupert Sheldrake famously said, they learn the philosophy of materialism as if from some, intellectual osmosis. It's like nobody taught them to be materialists and to believe that everything that's real can be reduced into mathematics or measured physically. Mm-hmm. There are things that can't be measured. Just because your TV, just because you don't know about certain channels that exist, doesn't mean that they may not show up on your television, but they could exist as channels. And there are channels that we don't understand, but they still exist.
One of my favorite things to throw at the materialists is that physicists now tell us that only 4% of the universe is matter, is physical stuff.
Yes.
96% is something that we don't have a technology to measure and understand. So they call some of it dark energy and dark matter. Dark meaning it doesn't give off a vibration that they can read with technology. But they're basically saying that 96% of everything we don't understand. And so
exactly.
I go, well,
that's
if that's true, why is it that my experience and the 9,000 years of recorded history of mystics and healers all over the planet is not informative to you?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Whatever that mysterious something is that you can't approach with technology yet has been approached with consciousness in every culture on this planet for a very long time. Might have something to tell you about the nature of it. And so one of my favorite things is there's a Hindu scripture in which they describe the nature of reality as a net of jewels. And I see a grid, which is straighter lines than a net, but it's points of light connected by straight lines. Same thing.
Exactly.
So and I know other people that see it. So yeah, it's not technology, but maybe we are the technology in the experiment and we might be useful.
Well, think about this. The thing that when people die, the thing they think about wasn't how much money they made or how many days at work they spent. It's their loved ones. It's the love they felt and received in their life. And the adventures and the chances they took and the internal things. And none of that stuff can be quantified.
Right.
All the stuff that matters to us is non-calculable. Can't be put into mathematics. And yet the things that matter to the psychopaths who run society are things that can be calculated. How much power do I have? How much money do I have? How much control? How much fame? And these are calculable. You can say, oh, I got so many hits on this media or whatever, or I have so many dollars in the bank. All the things that are calculable are not the things that matter to us the most in our reality.
Well, That's absolutely true. But to the people who think they're important, it's a distraction from what is real and important. And
certainly so.
So, and that's the intent. I think the intention of so many things in the modern world is to distract people from focusing on who they are, what the world is about, what's important, and instead be fussing over stuff that's make-believe, but makes money for someone.
Absolutely. There was another breakthrough in this 40-year period that is probably my most significant breakthrough. And that was the discovery of something Freud had figured out a long time ago. And that was a concise way to discover the emotional causes of reality creation. Mm-hmm. And when people process the emotion, it took me 30 years to figure out the whole process. When people process it, not only can symptoms spontaneously disappear, but people can feel incredibly grateful for having had the condition because it showed how they had stopped loving. And then when you put the whole thing together, you realize we live in the most miraculous reality where the entire reality is an orchestration, a divine synchronicity to remind us of how we shut down our love, as if to say the love was more important than life itself.
I'm thinking of my father's experience at the end of his life, and he basically had two things in his personal history that scared the hell out of him and that he hadn't resolved, that he carried around with him. And each of them, a year apart, created a brain tumor.
Wow.
And the first time I had just started doing therapeutic touch, I rushed out to be with him, and I worked on him, and I charged up all his IV bags because one of my teachers had said that water holds the energy. And he walked away in 10 days with, you know, some support at home, but he went home. Didn't resolve the emotional issue, but he survived what he had created from the emotional issue. The second time, it was something that was much more terrifying, and he didn't want to go through chemo and radiation again. He was just, I'm not going to do the medical thing again. And I basically watched him decide to die. It's like, I have no energy for this anymore.
Well, the metaphysicians say that all death is suicide, ultimately. When a person doesn't want to be here anymore, they choose to leave.
Yes, and fair I enough. Think Seeley was already writing about how brain tumors in particular can be formed from an unresolved emotion within 3 weeks, symptomatic brain tumors. But yeah, I watched him do it twice, and I watched him basically just pull all of his energy out of his body. To which my response was, thank you. That was a very interesting lesson. I wish you didn't do it because now you're not here.
Exactly, but it's a choice.
Right. He was done. But it's really fascinating. I now understand in a very visceral way what we can do and how much it is a choice. And most people never see that. Yeah. But yes, the idea that all death is suicide, I've heard that before, and it makes perfect sense. On some level, we create whatever it is that kills us, and we decide it's going to be effective.
You can see it from the very dark side, that it sounds very ominous, but on the light side, when you see a person with 40 aspects of their condition that we, you know, by asking them simple interrogative questions and they answer them, and you realize that everything about their condition, the emotions they felt, the things that it kept them from doing, their judgments about it, the visualizations they had, everything about their condition was a perfect mirror of emotions they didn't want to feel that caused the darn thing in the first place. And we live in this spectacular multidimensional synchronicity of miracles. But just because the miracle is unpleasant, it doesn't mean it isn't a miracle. So that's another one of the breakthroughs.
I love that.
Breakthroughs.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say it again.
Well, just because I said, I never used that phrase before, but I like it. Just because the miracle was unpleasant doesn't mean it wasn't a miracle.
Right. Doesn't mean you didn't create it out of nothing.
Exactly.
Miraculously. It's just you didn't like it. So,
yeah, you didn't like your creation. But wow, right. When you see, I'll ask all these questions of a person, and everything about their condition is a perfect mirror of what they didn't want to experience. And they always know what it was about. It's not like I'm trying to ever convince them. I don't even know if it's right, but they know it is because it's a perfect match for what they were feeling inside and what's going on with them. And so they process it. But not all conditions need to be addressed on that level, which takes a lot of courage, but it's the deepest healing I know of. What I did, once I discovered conscious entanglement of objects, I created an entangled group talisman we call the Quantum Touch Pendant. And what I did was I designed a very pretty pendant, had it manufactured, and then I charged it with my best healing energy. And I also put in the energy intention of aligning people. And I sent a gift out to my top 50 instructors around the world with instructions that they should run their best energy into it. And very quickly, we sold about 5,000 of them. And everybody who has one puts their love, gratitude, connection to source, healing energy, whatever they have to offer. And some people are putting their peak experiences, their special gifts or talents into the pendant as well. And you can access any of these things through intent. So for example, if I take a pendant and hand it to a person who knows nothing about my work whatsoever and tell them to touch somebody's shoulder with a pendant or arm or ear or wherever with the intention of aligning their posture, it triggers the information in the pendant that causes that to happen. And if they just touch their shoulder with it, they're instantly aligned. At least the hips and occiput are. That's the part we meditated on.
Right.
Similarly, I was at a conference in Cancun, and some guy was telling me he hadn't breathed through his right sinus since he was a teenager and used to get into fights. So I handed him two pendants and said, here, hold these on both sides of your nose. Within 5 minutes, he was breathing through his sinuses. Right. And we've seen some crazy healing happening from these pendants. So it's just another technology of using conscious entanglement for a good effect.
Right. And when I was doing more work with crystals, we did things that were very close to that. Not, I think there's a whole other level that you've come up with, but the idea of putting intention into something that has an energy matrix that can hold it.
But here's my discovery. Everything holds it. We could have run energy into Beko bits. We could have run energy into Beko bits or cigarette butts or dead cockroaches and probably had the same result.
Well, that's like psychometry where you can do a reading on a person by just having an object that they always had on their body, their watch.
Yeah, I did that one time. And I wasn't even prepared for what I got on that one.
Yeah.
I ended up holding this tiny ring, and I went into the darkest of dark places. And I said, do you ever feel like you're living in hell worlds, like completely surrounded in hell worlds? And she said, oh, yes, all the time. I went, oh, my God.
Right.
It took me hours to get out of that vibration. It was so different, so painful.
Right. And that's an issue with secondhand stuff, you know, the secondhand shoes in particular, since the feet have chakras and the leather is a living substance. But there's all kinds of things that will have all kinds of information. Silverware.
Well, my experience tells me from what my testing that all matter, this matter that we can get access to, not talking about ionic rays or something, but physical matter, you know, glass, plastic, rubber, you name it, they all hold energy and intention equally. And this is a whole revelation.
Yeah, that's
I don't have
amazing.
To have my special magic rock. I can have my magic eraser, or magic battery or magic scrap of paper I found on a receipt.
My magic takeaway cup with coffee in it. Yep.
Exactly. The plastic lid. This is my magic plastic lid of the coffee cup. And I could do, it's funny. I'm going to be going to the consciousness conference in Tucson in April. And this is the third year they're not letting me be a speaker because my stuff is a little too outside the box. When I gave a keynote address at the University of Hong Kong and the University of Macau, I put 20, 25 people on stage. Last time I did it, I had people hold hands, and I just barely brushed my pendant across a few hairs of the very first person, and all the people in line were spontaneously aligned at once. So since I'm not getting to give a lecture there, I'm going to do the next best thing. I rented a table, and I'm going to do demonstrations on everybody that lets me. There's probably 1,000 scientists from around the world. And I'm going to blow their minds. And if they, a few years ago, I was at a consciousness conference. And my friend, who's a scientist, made a sign for me. He knew about my work. And the sign said, consciousness affects matter, free demo. So I got my sign up there. And this guy comes up to me and he's got his arms crossed and his head cocked to the side. Okay, what do you got? And I said, I'm going to align your hips without touching you. Well, that's impossible. Great, hold that thought. I measured him and said, oh, look, you're further out of alignment than almost anybody I've ever seen. Okay, make it hard and lock your hips. So he does. And 5-6 seconds later, after I finished meditating, I measured him and go, oh, look, you're completely level now. And he said, if I let myself believe this, everything I know about science would fall like a house of cards. Well, do you consider yourself an empirical scientist or faith-based? That was a very rude question. He said, well, empirical, of course. I said, great. Then why don't you watch me do this 5 or 10 more times and see if I'm using reverse psychology? He said, if I let myself believe this, everything will fall like a house of cards. Well, as an empirical scientist, don't you want to let the cards fall where they will?
Right.
He thought for a moment and he said, not today. And he just walked away.
I wish I knew the name of the NASA scientist who said, when something happens, we have to seriously consider that it might be possible.
I mean, that's a very good quote. I love that one. That's great. There's actually a lot of quotes on that line that you should never dismiss something after it happened and say it didn't happen. It's that kind of thing. So this is going to, I want to make a documentary and I'm still looking for the right producer and director. But what I want to do is call it the Galileo Project. The idea is, what would happen if you had visible, teachable, paradigm-changing information? Who could you show it to? Where would you go?
Right.
And would they stick around long enough to see something that completely violates their fundamental assumptions about reality? If they stick around in the show...
This happens all the time with my best guests. We get to the juiciest stuff and then we run out of time.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's cool. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And I have many, many questions for you. I'll catch up with you through some other technology. My guest tonight has been Richard Gordon, the founder and creator of my brain is
Quantum gone. Touch.
Quantum Touch.
We got
just
Quantum Touch over here.
Say the wrong thing. Richard, thanks so much for being here, and you got me very curious about the method and how I might incorporate it into my work, so thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
And if anyone out there is curious about who's this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and among the many ways to contact me, there's a link to schedule a 20-minute free phone conversation. And we can talk about a person, place, situation, business, whatever it might be, and see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information and the whole archive of everything we've done for 7 years, all the interviews, for the show, it's Cleverly Hiding in Plain View at thefarkasfiles.com. And of course, you can listen to that now, to everything on Empower Radio now through the Empower Radio app, which is really cool. So thank you one and all for being here and spending some of your time with me and making this all worthwhile, because the show is really about you. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week. We'll be right back.